Welcome to another podcast episode on my Language Facilitation Helpline show. This is Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com, and today is a strategies episode where I will be describing 8 easy outdoor language facilitation strategies to take advantage of the nice weather and help your child learn unprompted spoken language.
My name's Marcy, and I'm an intuitive speech and language pathologist, and it's my mission to help as many parents as possible teach their late talking children how to use natural verbal speech. And I do that with a method that I call language facilitation. And parents are the best at language facilitation because you are the ones that are there with your child all day, every day, especially now that it's summertime and you're home with your child. So these strategies that I'm going to be giving you all summer long, every week, a different video about how to really incorporate these strategies into the things that you already have going on in your summer life. So thanks for joining me today, and let's dig in. I actually have 8 different strategies that I'm going to talk to you about, and these all have to do with outside, okay? So the concept of outside of your house. And there's many different ways to sort of consider outside. Really, outside starts at your door. So the first strategy that I'm going to give you to facilitate language with your late talker surrounding outside is to talk about the doors that go outdoors, the ones that you're going to use to get to the out of doors. And even with a child who's nonverbal at all, this is an important sort of situation and concept for you to talk about. Just the fact of going out of this door, there are some definite rules and ideas around that situation. The door has to open and close. So obviously, it's real easy to teach those concepts while you're there with the door, open and close, while you're opening and closing the door. Maybe the door is going out to the yard if you live, you know, somewhere that you have a yard where there's a sliding door, and maybe the door doesn't swing open like a hinge door, but it slides open. So the door swings open, or open door, closed door, sliding the doors, open door, closed door, but it's also sliding and sliding, and maybe you have to pull it. Maybe the door's heavy. All of these things, just about opening and closing the door, are actual ways for you to facilitate new language, because while your child has to turn the knob or pull the door or push the door open, these are all activities that your child is doing in the moment. And so just opening and closing the door is important. Now, you also may want to ensure that your child doesn't open the exterior door without you being there with them, right? You don't want them just coming and going as they are. Some kids are real good at undoing locks and things like that. You want to make sure that you teach your child the rules about your exterior doors and when it's okay to open them and when not. Maybe you only want your child to open that door when you're standing right there next to them and you give them the go-ahead, because it's different than just the door to the bedroom or, you know, other interior doors. Exterior doors are special because they are the gateway to the outside, and you always, of course, want to have your child be, you know, with you when you're going out. So you have to establish those rules. It's only, you know, maybe you don't want your child to, you know, be opening the door on their own, and you don't want them to be trying it all the time. So teaching them about opening and closing the doors is not something you talk about very much because you don't want your child to do it. But the fact is, you still do go in and out of your door every day, and you want to make sure that your child, late talking or not, understands the rules around the exterior doors in your house. So whenever we go outside, there's a way we always go outside together. Your child never goes out on their own. that, you know, if it's not with you, with whoever it is, okay, that they are able to go outside. So they don't even cross the threshold, right? You know, you can even use the threshold of the door as sort of the boundary for inside versus outside. Now we are inside, now we are outside. And just teaching the concept of inside and outside. And then you can carry those concepts over to when you have boxes or containers of any kind and you have things that are inside and outside. So this is a way to sort of carry over and continue these concepts of in and out, open and close with the exterior door and also inside your house. So the first tip and strategy about using exterior, using outside, is talk about the door that goes to outside. That's your first strategy. All right, the second strategy is to think about a job that is required or is something that you can incorporate into your everyday schedule that requires going outside. And you have your child help you with that job every day. Maybe the job is fetching the mail. Maybe the job is taking out the trash. Maybe the job is walking the dog or picking up the dog poop if the dog goes on their own. Every day, if you have a job that you do with your child, maybe it's a job you have to do every day. But this is a way to include outside with your everyday activity. And even if it is just walking, you know, outside of the door and reaching onto the house to pick up the mail, it's still, remember, outside because it's over the threshold. You still have to get outside of the door, open the door, go outside, close the door, and then you have a little job to do while you're out there, and then you have to go back in the house. So the process of just going out of the house and going into the house, inside, outside, go outside, do a job, and go back inside, makes that activity both something you do every day and something that you have repeated opportunity to expose your child to language to. So maybe they don't understand what a mailbox is or what the mail is or what a stamp is on the letter or who the letter's from or if it's junk mail or good mail or what you do with the mail when you bring it in the house. All those things are just the everyday activity about the little job that you do. Maybe it's picking up dog poop and you go outside and it's the whole deal about what do we do with this dog poop? Where does it go? It's really stinky. You know, and every day there's more of it because you have a dog. So these jobs that you, if you choose a job to do with your child outdoors and you talk your child through the whole process of even just one little job, like fetching the mail, is going to give you super great opportunities to do repeated language facilitation where your child can be exposed to the same kinds of vocabulary over and over again. All right, so the third strategy that I have, there's eight strategies altogether I'm going to do on this video. And the third one is to what I call care and appreciate the exterior of your living space. So if you live in a home, there is not just the exterior of the house, but you might have a yard or some outside space to do with it. Maybe you live in an apartment where you just are part of a house and the exterior is just your front door. There's not much of the space that is just yours. But you also do live in a big, big building that has a whole way around it. So understanding and appreciating the building that you live in, the exterior of your building, is something that you should acknowledge and talk about because you do live in a house. What does your house look like? Is it a big house or a little house? You can go outside and look at it and come inside and draw pictures of it or build it with blocks. Building your house and drawing your house helps a child get ownership of it, just examining and looking at it. Touch the exterior, see what it feels like. Do you have siding? Is it bumpy? Do you have stucco? Is it really bumpy? Do you have brick? Or, you know, what is the surface of? Is it painted wood? Does it feel smooth? Does it feel bumpy? Is it very big or very small? What color is your house? And is it more than one color? Does it have stone and wood? What's it made of? Does it have a pointy roof or a flat roof? all the things about the exterior of the building that you live in, then this is how you appreciate it, okay? You see the great things about it and you see the challenging things about it. Uh-oh, there's a broken fence, or maybe there's a patch in the yard that looks beautiful because you planted flowers in it and you want to call attention. This is, you know, our beautiful yard, or you have lots of grass, all the beautiful things. Or maybe you are picking up dog poop and you're like, oh, this is yucky, or there's a mud puddle, or, you know, maybe you find trash out there. I think that this is the greatest way to appreciate the outside of where you live, because sometimes trash happens. You know, I live in an apartment and there's always trash outside my door that I'm always picking up, just because sometimes other people are careless. And so part of my job every day when I come home is looking around and picking up trash that I see around. And that could be a super great job for you to do, to care for and appreciate your exterior of your living. Another way to do this is by decorating it. So if you have a holiday coming up, maybe you make a sign and put it on your door that says happy, you know, holiday, whatever the holiday is. Or if it's somebody's birthday and you draw a picture and put it on the outside of your house. Or if you have decorations that you normally put up for holidays, like, you know, Christmas, or, you know, even 4th of July, a lot of people, it's coming up here soon and people are going to be putting out their American flags and things like that if you live in the U.S. And these are things that you do outside, that you don't have to go anywhere, but it's just outside of your everyday place, to care for and appreciate the building and the surrounding yard or space that you live in. So that's your third strategy to help your child learn some new language this summer. All right. The next strategy is to talk about outdoor safety. So there's lots of things that are, you know, potential threats or issues that could happen with our safety that are outside of our house that aren't inside. So there's, you know, streets, of course, that you have to practice holding hands before you cross streets. But even if you're outside in your own yard, you want to make sure that your child understands it's important that they stay close to the house, that they stay in vision of, you know, a person if, you know, you don't have a fence in your yard. Because even if you're playing just in your front yard, people and animals and things are going to come into your space. And you want to show your child what of those things they need to be, you know, careful about, and what they need to be respectful of, and what they need to do to keep themselves safe, because they don't obviously know those things from beginning. So teaching your child about safety, even if your child is nonverbal or preverbal, is super important. And the words and vocabulary you use around those safety strategies is also super important. It has to be simple language that your child understands. No street, hold hands, stay by mommy. You know, these kinds of statements you need to say over and over and over again. And with language facilitation, make sure your child is listening, because they could be very easily distracted by the squirrel they see climbing up a tree. So it's really important that just even outside of your home, you do take care to teach your child about the safety using simple vocabulary that they understand, with repetition too. So then once you do that and you realize that things are outside and you start to be spending more time outside, here's four more strategies to help you get going. And the first one is to connect with your neighbors. So even if you live in an apartment, it's always a really good idea to know who's living around you anyway. And a nice way to do that might be to use the opportunity to greet your neighbors as an opportunity to teach your late-talking child some language and teach them how to meet new people. So even if it isn't someone you knew, maybe it's someone who hasn't been there for a while, you can always take over a nice hello gift. It can be a picture that your child drew, or cookies that you made, or maybe you got an extra something at the BOGO at the grocery store, and it's a family across the street that has other kids, or maybe it's a neighbor, an elderly neighbor who lives by themselves, or, you know, that's especially a nice opportunity, because usually people who live alone, especially older folks, and they don't have to necessarily be older. They can just be someone like me. I live alone too. My kids are grown and moved out. And I talk to the children in the apartment where I live because they're my neighbors and I know who they are. And if there ever was something that happens in our community, I would, you know, have the neighbors in my building to, you know, connect with, at least if something happened, right? So using your neighbors as a connection for your child is a really great way to help facilitate some social language. So if you live in an apartment building and there's a single adult in your apartment building, you can always just knock on the door and say hello. Just, we wanted to come by and say hi. We live downstairs. Here's a couple cookies. And we just wanted to say hello and introduce ourselves and say hi. And your child, just to understand how it is to meet a stranger who's a friendly stranger, hopefully, and someone who can connect in your life. These are really important opportunities for you to take advantage of. And if they're neighbors that you know well but don't see very often, the summertime is a wonderful opportunity to sort of rekindle those friendships. All right. So the next tip that I have for families this summer is to take a walk every day. I know it seems like, you know, wow, one more chore to do in the process of your summer, but if you plan this at the beginning of your day, right when you get up, even potentially before you have breakfast, if you do a little walk like to the corner and back, just to kind of get up, have to put some clothes on, you know, so you're not all day in your pajamas, you're in your summer clothes, you go and take a walk and you come back. And on that walk, because you do it every day, you're gonna see similar things, but there's gonna be new things too. So this morning walk that you take every day, even if it is halfway up the block and back, will just offer you as a parent unlimited opportunities to facilitate language with your child. So you don't have to go very far, but it is outside of your house. So you'll have to get up, you'll have to put clothes on and shoes on, you'll have to get out the door, and you'll have to decide where you're going to walk and how you're going to get there. And you'll do all of that together as a process. And then you'll come home from your walk every day and have a getting into the house sort of procedure. If you do it bright and early before breakfast, because the sun's coming up really early now in the Northern Hemisphere, you can go have your morning walk, come back, and then even continue your language facilitation through your breakfast and extend and have some really nice, wonderful language facilitation time with your child before you even get into the whatever we're going to do today. Summer days can be really long and kids might be up super early in the morning. If you have a morning structured walk where you're just gonna go somewhere and do something easy, that's gonna give you some fabulous opportunity to facilitate and look for the things that you see every day and look for the things that are new that you don't see every day, and talk about both so that your child understands that there is consistency and they learn a lot from that consistency of hearing you say the same things over and over again. But they also get to see that it's not always the same every day, because every day is a new day and every day new opportunities happen. Maybe you'll see an animal. Maybe you'll see a car. Maybe you'll see something unusual like a clown, or, you know, who knows what you'll see on your morning walk. I think that's what's great about the idea of it. You never know what you're going to see, but every day you have the opportunity to have a great new opportunity. All right. And so then the next strategy is to, for kids who already are talking and they do know some concepts, like maybe they love vehicles and they know the names of the vehicles, or maybe they know colors and they know how to label colors. Maybe they love letters or numbers or counting, or, you know, whatever kind of thing, concept that they really, really like, that they tend to maybe even perseverate about. I call it their superpower. What you want to do is you want to, in the time that you spend outside of your house, look for ways to connect their superpower with something that's right outside your door. Maybe if it's colors, then you talk about the colors of everything that you see, the color of your house, the color of the cars, the color of the clothing that you see people wearing, the color of the rocks. If your child loves counting, you can count little rocks, you can count blades of grass, you can count houses, you can count cars. If your child loves letters, look for letters on the things that are outside, like the mailbox or the gas meter or the newspaper that you see. If you pick up the mail, look for the letters on the mail. The idea is to match the concepts that your child really loves with the things that they see outside of their house. So they're not always used to going to the same things to get their fix of the thing they love. It's not always on the YouTube video, or it's not always in their blocks, or it's not always in their animals or their Barbies or whatever they love. They can find these same things they love in other things outside of their everyday life, outdoors. So that's how you're going to continue. And you'll see a ton of language development when you match those concepts. So what you want to do is with a low level late talker who's maybe only using single words, we really only model things at two word level. So if your child loves colors, you want to say blue car, blue shirt, blue water, you know, those kinds of things, so that your child can match the color with the concept of the things that you see outside. Okay. And then the last strategy that I have to do language facilitation outside is to find something natural. So there's lots of things outside, even if you live in a city, that are natural, that are green. If it's dirt, if it's grass, if it's a bug, if it's a bird, something that is not human made. You want to call attention to that thing outside, because most of the things that are human made outside, you can see inside in some representation in your house. But a lot of natural things, you only get to see, feel, hear, touch those things outdoors. Or, you know, things that are really big, like vehicles, you can match, when we talked about concepts, you can match, you know, the cars that you see inside to cars that you see outside. But again, those are man-made. This strategy is about always finding something natural, even if it's a bug, and understand that this is not something that people made. This is something that happened, that God or whoever your higher power that you like helped put here on the earth, that the sun helps grow, that eats grass or lives in dirt or water, you know, things like that. And teach your child about natural things. And if every day while you're outside, you find one natural thing to talk about, and it doesn't have to be a new thing every day, it can be the same thing every day. Maybe there is a squirrel that lives in the tree outside your house and you watch it every day. Maybe you even feed it. You put some corn out there or something for it, some seeds. They love sunflower seeds. You could put sunflower seeds out and watch the birds and squirrels and see how they eat those seeds. That's how you teach your child about natural things, just by being outside of your house. So there were 8 strategies altogether on this video to teach you all about how to facilitate language with your child outside, outdoors. Because I know, even though it's summer and your kids are home, it's real easy to get stuck in watching videos or playing games or doing things that are inside, especially if it gets hot out where you live in the Northern Hemisphere in the summertime. You know, you might end up spending more and more time later in the day inside. So really start to get in the habit of going outside every day. And now at the beginning of the summertime, when the weather's just starting to get nice and the sun's starting to come up early, think about doing your outdoor time right away, first thing in the morning, and then later when it's hot, or you can stay outside as long as you like. And then when it starts to get warm and muggy, if that's how it goes where you live, then it's time to retreat inside and do some more indoor language facilitation with books or inside playing, or even just have some downtime where you enjoy being cool versus being hot outdoors. thinking about comparing and looking and talking about inside activities versus outside activities will give you a whole new avenue to facilitate language with your late talker. And I hope these strategies will be able to get you started, because it is my mission to help parents with these videos get your kiddos using more language this summer before they go back to school, just by doing your language facilitation. So if you want to check out all of my strategies videos, you can look at them on my YouTube channel, and there's tons of them. So best of luck to you on your language facilitation journey. If you want to know more about working with me, you can check me out at wavesofcommunication.com, and I'll see you all on my next video.